Good morning and welcome to Talk of Our Towns. I'm David Paul. Well, about 8 years ago, I married an equestrienne, a horse enthusiast. Before that, about all I knew about horses was what I'd seen on Westerns and Roy Rogers and Mr. Ed, although I don't think Mr. Ed paints a very accurate picture of the equine world. Since then, I have learned a lot, and you know, I've learned how horses are very empathic creatures, how sensitive they are, how attuned they are to human emotion, and I've learned to appreciate the beauty of a horse and rider moving as one through different maneuvers. It's really something, and if you've ever been interested in the equine world or thought about getting a horse, or maybe you had a horse or were a horseback rider in earlier days and somehow just got out of it and would like to get back in it, we've got the event for you. It's coming up on June 25th, Saturday, at the Clatsop County Fairgrounds. It's Lower Columbia Horse Fest. Here to talk about the event and about her organization, the Oregon Equestrian Trails Association, is Diane Berry. She's the co-chair of the North Coast Chapter of Oregon Equestrian Trails. Diane, welcome.
Thank you for having me this morning.
Let's talk a little bit about the Oregon Equestrian Trails to start with. What does it do? What's it about?
The organization was formed in the 70s, and our chapter, North Coast Chapter, was formed in the 90s. And it is an organization that keeps relationships with public agencies like Oregon Department of Forestry, BLM, Forest Service, and state parks and other agencies that have land. We help maintain horse camps, we maintain trails, we maintain relationships to keep equines in those camps and in those trails, and it's just a constant job to keep this equine world going.
Now, is there some pressure to close lands and trails to horses and horseback riders?
The equine group is a minority, and there is more and more pressure by hikers and mountain bikes and even four-wheelers. We all have to share the trails, and we really like to keep those relationships going, but sometimes it's difficult, so we like to keep our finger in all the different areas so that we can make sure that equines can keep on those trails and that we don't get pushed out.
Now, does Oregon Equestrian Trails sit down with hiker groups or mountain biker groups or ATV groups from time to time, sit down at the table and kind of hash things out and sort of educate each other?
Yes, actually there's always ongoing education, and our state OET officers are always setting up different seminars and going to different conventions and getting round table groups together, especially in the Central Oregon area where there is a lot of pressure over there for the use of all the recreation areas. Bend especially has had such an influx of population growth that everyone wants to use all the wonderful amenities over there. So that has been a great area that they've had to have a lot of discussions.
Are there any issues that are specific to this area around Clatsop County and the North Coast region?
We are pretty lucky here. One thing, we don't have a lot of trails here. We have a lot of nice trails out at Fort Stevens, especially in the Delora Beach Lane area. The state parks acquired that several years ago. So, you know, we try to help keep those trails open, and we keep good relationships. The mountain bikers use those also, and there's a lot of hikers in that area. There are trails within Fort Stevens that we aren't allowed to use, and we try to educate horse users that may not be familiar with that they need to stay off those trails. And then we also have trails out at Northrop Creek Horse Camp. We just don't have a lot of trails here, but we do have a lot of logging roads.
That we do. Now, you were mentioning before the show that there are some conflicts sometimes between, say, mountain bikers and maybe ATVers. You know, the mountain bikers would think, well, the horse is a lot bigger. We're the ones who have to worry about the horse. But actually, it can be the other way around.
Yeah, I think a lot of it needs to be an education between the four-wheelers and the mountain bikers, especially. The mountain bikers will get their speed going on a trail because they're out there having fun, and they'll come whipping around a corner and will surprise a horse. And there are horse accidents that are related to that. I mean, there's no intent by any other recreation group, and the four-wheelers also don't have any intent, but they do need to be aware that a horse is a very reactive animal, and accidents happen. And a lot of times you're out in an area where there's not very good medical services or cell phone service. So they really need to be aware. So we are continuing, you know, our education with those groups here too, especially on the Clatsop of Recreation Advisory Committee for ODF that I'm on. There are representatives there from the four-wheel groups and from the mountain bikers. So that's a good outlet for us. And then we have some OET members that are also on the North Coast Trail Alliance. I think it used to be Warrenton Trails Committee. I'm not sure if I have the name right, but anyway, that group. So we're continuing working with those groups.
Now, what's the state of, the equine world, the equine pastime hobby? Are there more equestrians now than there used to be, or fewer? Or
I think definitely there are fewer. The recession of 2009 took a lot of people out of the horse market. They had to sell their horses. The cost of hay, the cost of everything, and the wages just weren't there to support that. So a lot of people sold their horses. And then in the meantime, a lot of the youth are really in love with their cell phones. So they don't always see the opportunities.
I can speak about that firsthand.
So we have to probably reinvent the wheel again, get people back interested in horses. And they're a great recreation opportunity. And there's help out there for you. There's very knowledgeable people in the county that can help you get back into horses, or if you want to be in horses. So that's partly what our event is about.
That's a good place to start, is Horse Fest coming up on the 25th out at the fairgrounds. Let's take a look at the event itself. Starts at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Runs until 4:30.
Yes.
And my gosh, I see all kinds of seminars and workshops and classes and demonstrations here. We'll just touch on a few of them. One is the need for selenium. That's a nutritional workshop.
Right. We are fortunate to have a representative from Horse Guard, which is an Oregon company that has done supplements for years to balance out the feed and nutrition of horses, especially in Oregon and the Northwest. So selenium is a mineral that is lacking, especially if you buy Central Oregon hay. We're also lacking in the hay here and can cause all sorts of health concerns. So we are going to be fortunate enough to have a representative that is going to fill you in on that.
And, of course, if you're just getting started as an equestrian, here's one that would appeal to you: buying a new horse.
Kelly Rankin, one of our local horse trainers, she is going to talk about if you are going out to buy your first horse, or if you need to maybe lease a horse or take lessons. But anyway, if you're going to go out and buy a horse, you want to make sure that the horse is appropriate for you and the rider level. And also, is their conformation good? Is there health issues? You want to come home with a horse that's going to make you happy and not a horse that's going to give you a lot of problems. So Kelly will be touching on that.
So temperament and all those things enter into choosing the right horse.
Oh, definitely temperament and age of the horse. You don't want to go out and buy a young horse for a new rider or a young rider. You have the safety factor. And
why is that?
Young horses take a lot of training, and the old idea of, well, let's get a young horse to grow up with a young rider is totally not the appropriate thing to do. You want something that youth or that new person is going to go out and have fun with and raise their confidence level. You buy a young horse, it is a lot of times just the thing that gets a person back out of horses. So Kelly will tell you or let you know different alternatives to go out and find a horse and where to look for an appropriate horse and you can hire people to help you go look for a horse. So you definitely want a good matchup.
And I see also there's going to be how to look for a used horse trailer, which is, that's pretty important. If you're going to get out to the trail, you better be able to haul your horse there.
That is entirely correct. We do not have any rental horse trailers in the county anymore. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, we used to. And now you pretty much need your own trailer or a really good friend that's willing to trailer you. So we are fortunate that Double J Trailers in Woodland, Washington is sending down a representative, and they are going to talk to us about how to pick a used trailer. I mean, they will also give you pointers on a new trailer, too. You know, you want the floor correct. You don't want a rotting floor that your horse is going to fall through.
Yeah. No, that would be a bad thing.
Yeah. And how much rust, or actually no rust, is appropriate. Safety concerns as far as, it's a trailer big enough for the horse that you have. You don't want a little trailer from the 70s and stick a 16-hand horse in it. There's just so many things, and there's many styles. There's gooseneck trailers. There's bumper pulls. There's living quarters. There's just a lot of different factors out there. A lot of people here have gone to aluminum trailers because then you don't have to worry about the rust factor.
Yeah.
So,
and they're light.
So they are going to touch base on that, and we're very fortunate to have them this year.
Just, by the way, just how a hand? How many inches is that?
A hand is 4 inches.
4 inches.
So most horses, excuse me, out there are between 14 and 16 hands.
16's a pretty good size horse.
16's a really good size horse. And when you go to select that horse, you want to make sure you don't get a horse that's too tall. I remember when I was a youth, my dad started looking at really tall horses and finally came to his senses, and we had a 14-hand horse for our first one.
That's something else to consider when you're looking for a new horse, is does the horse fit you? Is it too large for you? Is it too small for you?
Yeah.
And if you got somebody my size, a 14-hand horse probably would not be appropriate.
And you will see people also that are too heavy for the smaller horse, or maybe also in a way you could be too light for such a big horse, and it's hard to control because that horse doesn't know that you're really on their back. And so you see, you need to be appropriate balance between the rider and the horse.
Yeah, let's take a look and see what OSET. OSET demonstration. Those are high school riders, aren't they?
Yes, they are. That OSET has become very, very popular the last few years. Those are equestrian teams that are tied to a high school. So Astoria High School has a few riders, and Napa High School has a few riders. I'm not sure about Seaside, but they get together and they have practices and they do a variety of things, so it keeps them real interested in the horses.
Mm-hmm.
There's gaming, barrels, poles. They have other events too that I'm not familiar with, but it's a well-rounded program that really interests the high school students versus strictly just showing. So there's just a lot of things that they can do in that OSET.
And there'll be a demonstration during the Horse Fest. Trail talk. Going to talk about getting out there and hitting the trails.
Kim McCarroll will be doing trail talk. She is an OET member from Central Oregon Chapter, and she has written 3 or 4 books on where to trail ride, where to camp, Oregon, Washington. I don't know whether she's gone into California yet. But she is going to do a PowerPoint show at the Horse Fest, and she will have slides of different areas, I think within a 50-mile radius, maybe 100 of Astoria.
Astoria, uh-huh.
Yeah, and so you'll know where to go and trail ride or camp or both, and she has descriptions of what size of trailers fit into those places.
That would be a consideration.
Yeah, what the parking's like, what the trails are like. Are the trails, easy? Are the trails more challenging? The amenities there, whether there's vault toilets, corrals, whatever. But Kim is a very fun speaker to listen to, and she will have a really good program that day.
Now, how many horse camps do we have around here that are kind of dedicated to the rider?
Well, there are many all over the state of Oregon. In fact, OET has a trail horse camp guide book that you can get when you sign up for a new membership for OET. So there are camps all over Oregon. Most of them that OET have been involved with have really nice corrals. Your horse is very safe for the night. And the focus, probably the most of them are kind of in the central Oregon area, but we have been so fortunate in the last few years to have a lot on the Oregon coast.
Oh,
so
really? Whereabouts are they?
So the best one, my favorite, is Northrop Creek Horse Camp out in Jewell off of Northrop Creek Road. And that one is open May through November, I think. And then there's also several in the Tillamook State Forest that are popular. And there's one at Nehalem Bay, which is in the state park system. Couple in Columbia County. There's several up in Washington that are fairly close to us. So come listen to Kim's talk, or come, better yet, join OET and
get the guidebook.
Get the guidebook, so...
Now, do you have trouble with campers who don't have horses using those camps and there not being any room for the horses?
We have certainly seen that happen in the last few years. It's kind of an unfortunate situation. When you are traveling with horses and going camping, it takes you hours and hours to load the trailer, load the hay, do all the things that you need to take a horse traveling with you. And if it's a horse camp that has no reservation system, you get there and then there are other campers in your sight, and it's very disconcerting because what are you supposed to do with those horses? I mean, sometimes you've traveled, two, three.
Can't take them just everywhere.
No. You've traveled, I mean, sometimes people will travel even from Eugene to come up to Northrop Creek, and you've traveled, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. We do that to Central Oregon, and then you get there, and there's no place to camp, and there's somebody just camping in it that doesn't have horses, doesn't know about horses. So that has been an ongoing battle, and that's one other thing that OET has been trying to work with the different agencies to come up with a system that discourages non-horse campers, we call them, in the horse camp sites.
Well, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm David Paul, talking to Diane Berry. She's the co-chair of the North Coast Chapter of Oregon Equestrian Trails. We're talking on the equine subjects and also specifically about the upcoming Lower Columbia Horse Fest on Saturday, June 25th at the Clatsop County Fairgrounds. Completely free. Free to everyone. And it's for... horse owners, horse enthusiasts, and horse enthusiast wannabes alike. If you're just getting started, or you're just coming back, or you've been in, had that hobby for a while, been in that lifestyle. It really is a lifestyle, almost. There's a real culture surrounding. It's an equine culture, I'd say.
Definitely, yes.
Well, let's see. Here's an important one. If you have a horse, and things happen, unfortunately, what to do until the vet arrives.
Yes, Russ Hunter, who has been our longtime large animal vet in the area, is going to give you pointers on what to do if you have a horse emergency, if you don't know whether to call the vet. He is going to discuss all those things. If you've got a horse that's bleeding, he will tell you how to, you know, to stop that. You have a horse with colic, what to do, which is a horse stomach ache.
A horse stomach ache. That's what colic is.
Yeah, and it's one thing that all horse owners fear, is your horse getting colic, because it's the leading killer of horses. So.
Oh, it's fatal?
It can totally be fatal, yes. A lot of times you have to put your horse down if you don't catch it quick
really?
Enough.
Really? Yeah. Really? From a stomach ache?
From a stomach ache, because a lot of times it's a twisted bowel in there, but you don't have this window on your horse's stomach.
Right.
So you go through the motions of starting with some equine medicine, pain medicine, and then you go from there. And sometimes it's a trip to OSU veterinary school and surgery. So you need to also decide ahead what you're willing to do if your horse does come down with colic, because it's a money decision and an emotional decision.
And I guess foundering. I never knew what foundering was before I got married. That has to do with grass.
Yes, I learned the hard way when I was a little girl. We bought our first horse and we thought we would be really nice to it, and we turned it out into a really lush dairy cow pasture. And of course, the horse immediately got sick. So, founder is when you turn a horse out into especially spring grass or the first fall grass, and there's too much sugar in the grass, and their system goes on overload, and it inflames the laminae in their feet, and it can ruin a horse. These days, there's some medications that help them get over it, but you never have the same hoof on the horse that you had before
Oh,
this
really?
sets in.
That's a perm. It's a permanent.
It's a permanent damage there. I mean, you can get them back to a certain point and get them back to usability again, but you certainly need to be well aware of that. And especially a new horse owner, you do not turn your horse out into this nice, lush pasture. It's
You
especially
think you're doing them a favor, say, go be free, have
exactly
fun.
because they run out there and they just stick their head down and
Sure,
they
it's
keep
full of
on
sugar.
eating, and yeah, and it's like, oh boy. And then, when the laminate the founder sets in, or the laminitis, they can hardly walk.
So they're swelling up inside of the hoof, when the hoof, of course, doesn't want to swell.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's very, very painful. I remember my horse from yesteryear and how horrible it was. So if you can prevent that, that is really a great thing. And so hopefully Dr. Hunter will touch on that also quickly on his seminar that day.
Another very important thing, if you own a horse, is horseshoeing. And there's going to be a farrier demonstration also at the Horse Fest.
Michael Shand is a popular local farrier, horseshoer, trimmer, and he is going to discuss how often you should have your horse's feet trimmed, types of shoeing. There's corrective shoeing for different hoof
So there's
issues.
like orthopedic horseshoes as well as orthopedic shoes for people.
Exactly, and again, back to the founder issue. If you get your horse foundered accidentally, why, then you need a good farrier to help them be as comfortable as possible on their feet. And a lot of times it goes to corrective shoeing, special shoes that are built, or constantly changing those shoes on a consistent schedule. And he also will be going over how often to get your horse's feet trimmed, how often to call the farrier, because you need to have your horse's feet trimmed and or shod, depending on the weather and the conditions, every 6 to 8 weeks.
Every
So,
6 to 8 weeks, you need to
yeah.
get a trim and new shoes.
It's not something that you let go. Again, it's part of your horse's health. And
What happens if you do go too long without having your horse shod?
if you go too long, then the hoof walls start separating and you get white
Ouch.
line disease and you get abscesses and infections up there, and then you've got another health issue again. So the hoof is very, very important to the health of the horse. Like they say, no hoof, no horse.
No hoof, no horse.
Yeah.
Gosh, I guess not. All their weight is on it. So that's very important, this farrier demonstration. Here's a very interesting one. Mountain Trail Cowboy Challenge, and that's going to be conducted by Mitch and Jolynn Hoover, who are two very well-known horse trainers in the Northwest.
Yeah, the Hoovers are, like you said, very well known, very well respected in all Western disciplines in the Northwest. And we are very fortunate to have them as our main clinicians this year. So they will be doing two sessions, one on trailer loading and then like the mountain trail challenge. And then they're also going to do one on bits and bitting. The mountain trail has gotten so popular. It's where you put your horse over obstacles. There can be fancy bridges. There can be gullies filled with water. There can be like a deer hide hiding in the bushes. It
So
is so
anything to
popular.
startle the horse, huh?
Yeah, and it's kind of the new competition, and it's just gained in popularity. There are special parks, and landowners have built obstacle courses that you can go, and they have events, or you can go sometimes and practice. And we're fortunate to have one in Klatska Nye, Shepherd Road Mountain Trail.
Just up from where I grew up.
Exactly, yeah. And then there's one Bolander Trail Park up in Washington.
I've heard of that one.
And there is one down in the valley. I can't remember if it's around Silverton. But there are just so many. And like I said, it gives you something fun to do with your horse. And like I said, the obstacles are just getting more and more interesting.
All the
time. Yeah. It's not just, you know, open a gate and go through it anymore. It's fun thing. So they will be talking about that and demonstrating that.
So there's going to be an obstacle course set up out there at the fairgrounds?
Yeah, there's going to be a small one, and they will be talking about how to get into that and also how to train your horse to have appropriate behavior to do that. So they will be touching on several
calm,
things.
I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah. There.
I would think that would be an instance where the rider and the horse really have to be one. They really have to be on the same page and know each other very well, and the horse would have to trust the rider.
Oh, trust is big, and that is one of the relationships that you do have to build with your horse, and sometimes it can take, I would say if you get a new horse, it always takes about a year to build a good relationship with that horse. And then if you're going to go on to these kind of competitions, then you have to have big trust. There's a big mountain trail show in Eugene every year, and they have even this humongous waterfall that you go in front of, behind of. You go through the pool in front of the waterfall. It is an awesome thing to go and watch. And so the Hoovers have been super, super successful down there at the Eugene Mountain Trail competition, and also the Stanleys, who are going to help them, who were our featured clinicians last year. So yeah, we have some great people coming.
And then cowboy dressage. Now, back in the day, I would have thought that meant dressing up like a cowboy, but no, that's completely different.
Dressage has always been popular in the equine world, but now it has transferred to the Western riding style.
So you're not wearing the jodhpurs and don't have the little whip and the little hat or anything like that. It's more transferable to what we do around here.
Exactly. And so Kelly Rankin, who is a local gal, then she is really rising up through the ranks of the cowboy dressage world and has worked a lot with Aton, I don't want to pronounce his last name because it's a hard one, in California, and he is really
kind
the
of
higher.
The guru.
Yeah, the guru of cowboy dressage. And so she has been very, very successful, and so she will be doing some demonstrations at the Horse Fest and also, again, talking about buying your first horse.
And, of course, there is going to be prizes and drawings at the very end of it, so... Anyway, it sounds like an action-packed day out there at the Clatsop County Fairgrounds. It's Lower Columbia Horse Fest. This is your second annual one.
Second annual one,
so
yes.
If you've been thinking about getting a horse, if you've been away from riding for a while and want to get back in it, or even if you're an experienced rider who just want to expand your horizons, this is the event for you. It's a 2016 Lower Columbia Horse Fest at the Clatsop County Fairgrounds, Saturday, June 25th, from 9 to 4:30. And that's about all the time we have today for Talk of Our Towns. Diane Berry, co-chair of the North Coast chapter of Oregon Equestrian Trails, thanks for stopping by. Thank you all for listening. Donna Quinn will be back next week. I'm David Paul. This will be available as a podcast later on today. Thank you.